What's going on?
Listen, I thought I hit one button and it was the other button. Y'all know I am the girl, Cassandra, the sports Nisa. I ain't the tech Nisa. So you start asking me to press buttons, stuff happens and it goes opposite directions. A happy Thursday. Welcome to Levels. I am joined as usual by my partner in time, Ramblin' Ralph Velez. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm good. I'm actually really good. Just getting rest from the weekend. Trying to look forward to this.
Big
lot of big news today. We got news all over the place. Not only we get boxing news, and I got my own personal news to share with you. But man, what a change in the boxing world, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But like crazy stuff happening. Like within like the last 2 hours. Crazy.
The black is hot. The black is real, real hot. And so let's go ahead and get it kicked off with our guest today. He is a good friend of the show and a good confidant of mine. I go to him for all kinds of stuff when it comes to this here boxing business because he knows. I want to welcome Jay Chaudhry, who is the head of production for the Players TV. If you haven't checked it out, they are producing original content with some of your favorite athletes around the world. He's also the former co-founder of Break Media. And look, if you wanna know about the boxing business, especially where it's headed, you wanna talk to and you wanna listen to Mr. Jay Chaudhry. So let's go ahead and bring him in.
What's up, guys?
What's up, baby?
What's going on, Ralph?
What is happening?
We're just tripping out over here, James.
You know what? It's funny. Like, do I even start with "ha ha"? I fucking told you so, or do we just get to that later?
Look, listen. Jay is right now. Are you in Toronto, right?
Yeah, I'm in Toronto right now. So I've been here for a while. Messed up, yeah.
Jay is in Canada, but he ain't your warm and fuzzy Canadian. So if this is the show that you're looking for a hug, don't come here. We gonna keep it real, and the truth is gonna be spoken. Yo, what happened? Triller won the purse bid for Teofimo Lopez. You saw it coming months ago.
Yeah, no, I heard about the bid that was gonna be. I knew Ryan was gonna be part of the process today. It was interesting because Theo didn't even know that he was going to be part of the process today. But obviously, it was meant to be a surprise. It was meant to catch everybody off guard. And it worked.
You say Ryan who?
Ryan Kavanaugh. He's one of the founders of Triller. It's just funny because the boxing world was caught off guard. Let's just say that.
But
what was meant to happen? I mean, you all saw what unfolded.
When we talked about this, Jay, after the Tyson Jones pay-per-view, I thought it would hit close to a million because there was so many people trying to not pay for this thing, right? You had your fans and your people that were like, I'm not paying for this. You're crazy. I'm going to stream. We're going to do, you know, IPTV, whatever the case may be. But yet, or close to 4 million buys, not even including all the illegal streams you had out there. So when I got with CeCe on this, I said, you know what? The only way this is going to continue to work is if the Legends Only League forms and becomes gigantic. Right. But here we are with a crazy bid. I actually have the numbers here. I didn't want to lose them. It's outrageous. You've got Teofimo making his biggest payday by far. The bid is almost double what Eddie Hearn, who basically has a blank check for $3 million. We're at $5.6 million, which Teofimo did over $3 million, his biggest payday by far.
I believe it was $6.1 million was the purse bid.
Bigger than what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, and then like you know how the numbers go after that. A certain check goes to Bob Arum for like $780,000 something.
Yeah, $786,000.
Yeah, and then another $400,000 go towards the three or four sanctioning bodies, which they're fighting the lines for. So I saw that for sure. It's interesting, right? Because what happened tonight, right? What happened today was just to show you that the athletes should know their worth, and that boxing executives now should understand that they ain't worth shit.
How does it happen? So let's go back in the process because Teofimo Lopez was very vocal early on, basically saying, "Man, I'm not just going to give this fight to Top Rank." You know, he said very early that he was open to actually fighting on another platform. Top Rank is still his promoter. Bob Arum is still going to get his money, but the platform changed. So really, the biggest loser is ESPN.
I think the biggest losers in this, other than ESPN, it would be Bob Arum. Just because, I mean, he did put out there that, you know, I don't have to do anything. We're making a $787,000 check, but it's like, I mean, who gives a fuck at that point in terms of you're making? You just lost one of your biggest superstars on the platform, and you should be ashamed of yourself that you couldn't keep this guy in your hands, because it was your job to promote him. It was your job to keep this guy stock high. He was able to do it outside of the ring on his own. Then he was able to do it inside the ring against Lomachenko. You weren't really doing shit anyway, Bob, in my eyes. So, I mean,
for you he's to go and collect a check today. He just collects a check.
If you can go to a book that he's making for $787,000, that's not anything to gloat about. I mean, when it's the long pitcher run, because Teofimo is now one of the youngest undisputed champions in the world, and he just scratched the surface on what it's like to become one of the biggest brand deals in the sport, too.
Now, do you make this deal without a Paul brother on the card, though? I think that they still might have to depend on that. Without, say, a Paul on the card, do you still pull the trigger on this? Is it still a wise move to pull the trigger on a deal, even without Jake or Logan or whoever that they would need to pull in these viewers on the card?
Can you repeat that first part? Is it a good idea to what?
What I'm saying is, like, without a Paul on the card, do they still make this move? It, like, if Jake or Logan weren't on this card, is it still a wise move to pay this amount of money for Teofimo Lopez at this moment?
If Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
Correct.
Do they need a YouTuber up there?
Yeah, no, they need the YouTuber. I mean, let's face the fact, the YouTubers are the bigger draw than these boxers. There's no question about it. You are the B-side to the YouTuber in this game. In the world of content and fan acquisition, when it comes to YouTuber boxers versus professional boxers, you're going to be the B-side to the YouTuber regardless, because they're the ones who actually bring in the fans, the subscribers, the money, the endorsements, the sponsorships. Everything is driven by the YouTuber. And the professional boxer now has the ability to market himself to the fans through these events. So to your question, Ralph, like, would they still have invested the $6 million in Teofimo without Jake Paul? No. They would not have, because he does not drive any subscriptions or any paid sources whatsoever.
Now, I know with the last fight on the trailer platform with the Mike Tyson one, it was a little bit, it wasn't really back and forth. It was just kind of like you saying something to Kevin Ioli and it then becoming true. Basically, who was it, Kanibo? Who was on with Ioli basically saying, you're not the demographic. That's why you didn't see any of the advertising.
Yeah. You know what? It goes to, what I was saying in that interview, when Dan Canobio was referring to one of the tweets, one of the mentions I had of Kevin and Ralph, who are both considered to be some of the fucking biggest, oldest dinosaurs in the sport. I mean, they were saying from the beginning that the Tyson Jones fight wouldn't sell tickets. They wouldn't move any tickets because they weren't marketing it right. And the reason that they were saying that was because they weren't seeing the ads on the highways, or they weren't seeing the ads on the TV and the radio. And it's because the ads weren't being placed on those network stations or billboards. The ads were placed using 2021 marketing strategy, which is through social media platforms and influencers and content creators. And I've been saying this for years, that if you do that enough, and if you start producing content and marketing and distributing it through the right social channels, the results will show. In this case, we saw it, the Tyson Bulls with close to 1.4 million pay-per-view buys.
So we are talking with Jay Chaudhry, the head of production for Players TV. We are breaking down what happened with – are you hearing feedback or is that just me?
I'm hearing feedback, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Should I bring you back in? Funny when
I was talking, man. I can still hear myself.
Let's switch it up. See if I can change my ears. Let's see if that changes it. No.
I just hear muffled stuff, but I don't hear the feedback. I'm good.
Stop now.
Now it's stopped, yeah.
Yep. Go ahead, please.
Do we think
it's a one-off?
That was my question. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that's the question. Do you think this is a one-time deal, or do fighters get smart and basically hold out until there's a purse bid and let these guys come in like a Triller, you know, and basically bid up the fight and put some I don't want to say a carnival gimmick, because I've been watching Jake Paul train. I've been watching Logan work. You know, they got guys like BJ Flores, who was a friend of mine, who was actually working with them. And he has stated, like, dude, these guys are not a joke. They are sparring real. They're sparring champions, and they're hanging. Like, this isn't a carnival game. I personally don't think it's a one-off. What is your take on that, Jake?
Yeah, no, I think in Teofimo's case, this might just be a one-off deal for him. Because I know that there was a comment that was made by Bob that said, if Teofimo thinks he's going to come back to ESPN now after making this much money and think we're going to cut him the check, the answer is no, which is a very obvious and reasonable thing to say. I also don't think that Triller is going to buy out Teofimo in any way, unless by some fucking miracle that the entire boxing community rushes to Triller to see this fight and they can see the needle shift based on Teofimo's fight. Because remember now, and this is something I talk to Cassandra a lot about, and I don't want to lose anybody while I'm talking to you, because you got to pay attention to what I'm about to say. We're currently living in the world where data is treated as golden minerals right now. So right now what they're going to be doing is measuring the tick with boxing. Exactly what DAZN was trying to do, and they kind of still are. Triller's been doing at a very exceptionally low level compared to DAZN. And they also got tons of data behind all the products that they put out. So once the Teofimo's fight hits as the co-main event, they're going to see how many people are watching at that time. And they can actually have real numbers behind this data too. Not that shit that you see online about Nielsen ratings, the fucking leading numbers. We believe that 700,000 people saw this fight first. It's all made up bullshit. Right? This is actual data. These are users, subscribed, locked in, watch the stream. If they measure that the lead-in from Teofimo was roughly the same or well enough to complement a big home fight, they might offer like a two-fight deal, but if it didn't really do much, everybody would put it for Jake, they wouldn't lose sleep over the $6 million investment for Tia, because they're already making way beyond that with this fight anyway. So they're really losing money at this point. What it does do, though, for future fighters, and this goes to what you were saying, Ross, fighters are going to want to do the opening first thing moving forward, but they'd also have to have a substantial amount of fans with the ability to go out and do that too. You can't just be even a WBC champion to the full media of anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And the thing of it is that my thought is, now that we've had more cities and states, maybe you give us a little bit more insight on this. Yeah. Do you have an event outside, like say in Miami where a Canelo's fighting, or in a state where they allowed fans, or do we do the same set, small set, bring in the pop stars and do another event like you had?
I actually like the way they did it the first time. I think it was really cool with the Snoop Dogg thing. They had a really cool, beautiful wide shot of the canvas. They had like music, intermissions and whatnot. It was done really, really well. I think the general move is to move into a space where fans will be allowed, and it might just be like considered a VIP event where you win tickets to come show up to these celebrity fights. But yeah, we could certainly see that in front of a live audience one day.
I just want to get into now.
Yeah, again, talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cece, you're a little bit
lagging. We're talking about the huge boxing news today. These AirPods, I don't know, they don't want to communicate.
Go ahead, I'll let you go. We're talking to
Jay Chaudhry and about the colossal news today that happened with Triller winning the first bid. Now they bid $6 million. Do they come back with another big boxing match after this one? Are they in the boxing business now officially? Because now, I mean, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones is one thing, but Teofimo Lopez is a true champion who we're going to see for a while now.
Yeah, I know that they've always had intention of being in the boxing space, and I think this just made a very clear statement that they're here to stay in the boxing space. Now, I can't speak on behalf of Triller, of course, regardless of the fact that I'm connected to them in many ways, but they certainly are making an announcement like this. Sorry, by them making an announcement like this, certainly means that they're here to play and be a key player. And it just, it's going to be really interesting to see what the next moves are for sure, because the way that the marketing strategy has unfolded is exactly the way that boxing was supposed to do it for years now. And they're just taking the right steps now and doing it. And they're kind of showing the boxing executives, like, you guys have all been missing the fuck out. And now we're going to come drain the ocean with this shit. So it's going to be,
I think that boxing, yeah, you're right. Cause boxing really is, you know, it's an old school sport. Some of the promoters have not been around just for a couple of years. They're set in their way, so to speak. They like things done the same way because it works for them. And yet you come in here with a whole nother platform. You know, you come on here, you can open your cell phone, type in your credit card number. Actually, you should have your credit card number on file. It actually gets easier than that. You tap your Google Pay, you pay for this damn thing, and in 30 seconds, you're watching a fight, which it doesn't, they're not used to that. It doesn't work that way. They want you coming. You know, the pandemic, I think, has really helped out as well as far as that's concerned. Do you treat this as sort of a takeover, right? Like, do you try to put more real fights on to back this up, or is Teofimo enough? I thought they did a good job of mixing the last card up. You know, the Nate Robinson thing was a little rough only because, you know, we all know that he didn't fight. He's not a professional fighter. But do you try to make it a more of a an boxing event, or is it still?
You do. You definitely, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm just getting a text right now. Give me 1 minute. I'll be right back, guys.
You're good.
I'll be right back. Hold that question. I'll be right back, right?
Hold on. Right, this is what happens when, like, you book guests who, like, yeah.
Well, hey, he's popular. But we got to talk about his content too, CeCe, yeah. Because his content is sick. Like, I didn't know that this was the guy behind the player's content. Like, it's really dope, you know. It's really dope to be able to get into a certain amount. And I'm seeing a lot, like, Jamil, like, Brown saying, like, he's a C-plus fighter. Yeah, okay. So the Pauls might be C-plus fighters. But CeCe, they bring in 3 or 4 times more action as far as fans. So there has to be a mix, right? Like, how do you say, okay, well, I don't want him because he's a C-plus fighter when the dude is bringing in millions of dollars worth of revenue as far as buys are concerned? Like, where do you?
You got to bring the milkshakes to the yard. So boxing has figured that out. And you had DAZN in there. And now you have Triller in there, who are real disruptors in the space. I'm not mad at kind of the new platforms changing up the game. I still don't want to see these YouTubers box. I think boxing can still figure out, give people the fights they want to see. That actually could drive revenue. So for so long, yeah, if it makes dollars, it does make sense, Jimmy.
Well, it's just, it is a scary thing for these promoters. I mean, think about it. Think about Bob Arum and the production being like, okay, we're going to have a little Uzi Vert come on for 10 minutes. And then we're going to have, you know, the Make It Rain contest or whatever. Like, he'll never do that. And that is one thing, like I was mentioning to Jay, that'll never be allowed on a regular top ranking ESPN. It just won't happen. So if Triller takes advantage of the situation and they run with it, they can go to the stratosphere with this kind of platform because people actually enjoyed it. Now, you had your old schoolers that were like, dude, that was the worst shit I've ever seen, whatever. But to be honest with you, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was cool that Snoop Dogg got to say it like it was. And, you know, there was cussing involved, which we all cuss as boxing fans in front of the TV. Our stream cusses. We don't give a shit. We do what we do. And it was a breath of fresh air, actually. It was actually pretty cool. So,
yeah. Before we let you go, Jay, we know we got you for a limited time. Tell us where we can find your content and tell us what Players TV is doing.
Yeah, I mean, Players TV, of course, we are in the business of producing content. We have some of the world's top athletes in the NBA as well. It's like people on TV who are setting the example of what it means to work in athletes. And of course, already such an established system in respect to sports. But the blueprint is there. Right? The blueprint has always been there. And agencies like TV are industry standard. And I think what boxing needs, had needed all the time, is to come in as that middle ground media agency who needs
goes outside of the ring, because that's always been the philosophy. Like, the problem with boxing is you have so many people who are champions with only these belts, with 10 million dollars, and nobody knows who the fuck they are. And it was a point in time where every champion, every state could name their champion at one point in the sport of boxing, and now it's just, I don't know who the fuck Anthony Doyle is. I have no idea who Jermaine Jamortola are. I don't know who Terrison Harris is, who Tony Harrison is. And yes, this is true. Many people in Texas don't know who the Black Girls Prince is. So it's like that marketing value has always been missing in boxing. And companies like DAZN, who came first to break the action, they did that. And now you got Thriller, now you got Fanrio. I'm sure, Ralph, you heard of that. You know, your boy Floyd, of course, is fighting on that with Logan Paul. They got their own app. Now, there's going to be dozens more apps that are going to come into the world of boxing and just start taking over the space, and you'll slowly start seeing the downfall of Showtime, Fox Sports, and ESPN, because these companies are going to come and just do what these platforms are supposed to do and do it better.
Well, there's certainly so much more to come. You need to check him out at Jay Chaudhry on Twitter. Check out the Players TV on Twitter, as well as the website. I love the content that you guys are doing. I hope to get to talk to you again sooner rather than later. It's been a minute.
For sure. Thanks, Cassandra. Ralph, nice talking with you, bro.
Yeah, we're going to, man, you know what? You're cool. CeCe's like, dude, Jay's cool, but you're cool, dude. We're going to get along just fine.
Appreciate it. Best to be offline. We'll catch up for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk again, man. I appreciate you. Content is fire. I didn't even know it was you that was putting that out, man.
Oh, yeah? Thank you. Man.
Fresh, 20 frames per second, and it's all professional. Like,
yeah, new stuff. Yeah. Ah, thank you. Thank
we're going to check it out for sure. We'll catch up, bro. We'll catch up for sure.
Later, guys.
Thank you, Jack. Take care.
The internet in Toronto, you know, I had a little trouble hearing him, but, man, these guys, he's full of – he knows what he's talking about, you know? Like, again, he did say that shit was gonna blow up, and I'll eat my words. I didn't believe it, because I thought you can't make another mega event like this, because you've got two legends. It's going to be a one and done. There's nothing else to see there at Thriller. And yet here we are doubling Eddie Hearn, and Eddie Hearn doesn't like to lose at anything. He doesn't like to lose at shit, as far as negotiations, as far as contracts, and yet almost double the amount. I'm sure these guys did not like to see that. I'm sure they were very, very.
I mean, the biggest news is that they tripled Top Rank. I mean, Bob Arum really thought that he was just going to go in, make the bid that they thought was reasonable. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, reasonable to them, like, this is what that guy is worth. It's real fucked up kind of mentality. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing. Do you remember when Teofimo, showed up over there at the DAZN fight, and he told him, hey,
uh-huh,
your whole company. Well, now there's that bid. There's that bid to show you that Eddie Hearn took to those words 100%. And you know what? It's so crazy that you mentioned this to me, because that's kind of like the backstory of this, and I didn't even realize that's actually a big story. Like, hey, your own promotional company didn't even bid high enough that if Triller didn't exist, you don't even get the fight. You're out of the game regardless.
You're right. They didn't even be Eddie Hearn in this, and I think it's just kind of arrogance on behalf of Top Rank, in that, again, the mentality is, we're going to bid what we think this guy is worth, what we think this fight is worth. Not fair market value, or not to give an indication of what it means to us to have this 22-year-old, charismatic, talented champion carrying our banner, you know. Bob was like, fuck it, we're gonna do what we do. They might have put an extra $5 or $10 on it, but man, they were grossly outbid today.
Check this out. So it's 65% of the bid goes to Teofimo. Think about this. We just talked to him, we had him on our show. He was house, he was fixing up, you know, trying to make his house nice. Man. How the hell does $3.9 million to fix your damn house out there in Alabama on the sticks, wherever you're at? $3.9 million minus the $782, he still makes $3.2 or $3.1 and whatever. And not only that,
pay the tax,
Kambosos, Kambosos, who was nowhere near getting this kind of money for this fight, gets $2.1 million. That's dope. I don't know what he has with the Bella. You know, maybe he has $500,000 with that from that. I don't know.
He had that. He had like whatever he's walking away with is a lot more than he would have gotten if they had done it the old school way and if they had stayed with the Top Rank and ESPN did. Like Kambosos never would have gotten that. What an incredible day. And then so we had two other another story that came kind of out of left field today. With
Hold on, wait. This Twitter just came through, and Teofimo, did you see it? He said $6 million from Triller, goodbye world with a champagne bottle on it. Oh my boy.
pop bottles. Listen, the block is hot. You know, the block is hot. Like, go ahead. You know, y'all protect your chickens. I'm not mad at it. Had another interesting story pop up in the boxing world today, and we see that Frank Mir is going to be boxing Tarver. So did anybody see that guy? What is Antonio Tarver doing? He hasn't been active in like 4 years, I want to say. It's been a
minute. No, I honestly thought, and I'm going to be frank with you, I thought this card that I worked on last Saturday was involving Antonio Tarver. It is run by Gary Lewis, who was Antonio Tarver's old manager for a long time. Mm-hmm. Great guy, great individual. Starting something fresh out there in Miami, had a blast out there. I really thought he was going to be there, and then they come to find out he's not part of that, nowhere to be found. And why this is happening?
He was in Miami, though. He was in Miami.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was there, but they didn't. He was just nowhere to be found that night or any other night that I was there, which was really odd. But it is what it is. None of my business. But I know that. Maybe there might be like, look, here's a situation. We talk about this all the time. This is why I harp on these kids getting their shit together and buying houses and stop buying all these damn cars and these chains and all this stuff, because man, this is what happens. This is what happens when you got stuff going down like that. CeCe, hold on 1 second.
This is one of the nights where the fellas have to like abruptly leave their chairs to go do things, y'all. Oh no, I'm gonna be holding it down. But don't forget to go ahead and check out Jay Chaudhry and follow his stuff. He's been having a ball today. Oh, you had to change up.
No, I had to change up real quick because I had there was some kids outside making a noise. I had to turn it off. I had to correct with my neighbor. Anyway, no, I mean, look, if this is gonna happen, I don't know who the hell's gonna watch it. Are you?
I'm a see it on Twitter.
Me too.
Just like everybody else.
I mean, it's a big announcement. Okay, great. Hope you all make some money, but who's gonna watch it and where? And like, where are y'all gonna do this in the backyard? Like, I don't understand it. You know, I support anybody
getting in the ring. To see he needs money.
I support anybody that gets in the ring because it is you're putting your life on the line. But damn, man, like I come on with your own training gear line. Let's do the Antonio Tarver jump rope or the Antonio Tarver sweat suit. Do something, man. Get a hold of somebody in Pakistan because mm-hmm. they somehow find me and I can move this stuff. It's very easy to go on Twitter, find somebody out in Pakistan, make a deal with them. And start selling some shit and put your name on it, man. Do something progressive. And
start slanging like, stuff. Well, you gotta do it when you have a name, though. Like while you have a name.
Yes, I just don't understand. I don't know what's going on. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know. We're gonna have to see the details on this, but it just came up on my Twitter account too, and I almost dropped my phone because I'm just like, I don't. I'm not being an asshole because, like I said, I'm not. You know me. I always give everybody the chance to either make it or break it with me, and I'm cool with everyone that I come in contact with. Antonio was cool. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't understand. Like with Frank Mir. Like, I don't even know. Like, how is this guy gonna look? Is he still in shape? Like, the dude was a beast when he fought. I mean, he looked like the Incredible Hulk. Now what are you going to look like 5 years later?
It's going you know, like, to be a little bit messy. For certain, it's going to be messy. I mean,
that's your round. I mean, can he hang with Tarver? Can he throw the hook? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, got them looping hooks. I guess we're going to try to get him on a show. I know Jeremy's going to work on that. Frank Mir,
let's
we
do can it.
Probably talk to about it. But here's the thing. I'm concerned about the Antonio Tarver's financial and mental situation. Most of the time, fighters don't come back and do these kind of, like, awkward one-off fights unless they really got to, you know, pay some bills or they just don't know what else to do with themselves. So hoping Antonio gets his thing, his life straight, and gets what he needs.
I'm hoping too, man. I really hope you do, because like I to me, you know, he put so much work in. You beat a legend, like you're doing your damn thing. And what do you have to show for it now? Like, you're gonna fight again. And that is exactly what I'm saying, Cece. Like, I it's a big thing for me. And it's my number one priority while I'm alive and well and trying to do what I can for this industry is that I want these guys at 35, 36, 37 to be living fat. They put themselves on the line.
Get out of it.
I mean, not even, really, really not even fat, but like, look, let me show you how to turn that 500,000 with real estate into 2 million because I've done it for people already. I just did it the other day. Like, let me show you how to buy two houses that are in distress. You take 30 grand, you fix it up, you flip them goddamn things, you make $100,000, and you do it all over again. Then you can hire a crew.
And so they can do it as partners. They can partner up. Like, you got 15,000, I got 15,000. Let's go ahead, put it together, and flip it. Like, it's a lot of ways that they can. Listen, y'all better holler at Ralph and figure out how to get your real estate money together. This is what he do. Let's make
shout out, and I'll tell you right now, David Benavides, I want to keep bringing up his name, but the kid is beyond levels as far as like where he understands. Yes, he has a nice car, but you don't see him with the 38 chains or whatever. Yeah, he likes to dress nice. He likes to look like the Antonio.
Some whole other stuff.
I'll give him that, but the kid already has 5 houses already. Like, and he's going to get 10 or 15. Thomas Delorme, who's ending his career in the next few years. We're already working on him getting 4 or 5 Airbnbs. Like guys, people, we got to get a little smart, man. We got to get smart with this. Because it's just like when my first go around the real estate market, I thought it was never going to end. I thought the checks would keep coming. I thought my name would be in lights the whole time. And to be perfectly honest with you, it didn't. And you don't have another chance to go back in there and start a boxing career over, especially at the age of 35 to 40. It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, we got to get that. We got to get that.
It's not happening.
Yeah, for sure.
But you happening. You are definitely happening. Not only were you in Miami working this weekend, you got something big coming up. And I know that, like, you know, there's an official announcement, but we can finally talk about it. What you got coming up next?
We have a friend of mine that we need to bring on the show, Ed Simpson, and we've become really close over the last few months. I was kind of surfing around looking for just something fresh, right? Like we cover this stuff, but there was always room for some upstart to come in here, and whether it was, you know, when the BKFC started, I watched it and I was like, oh man, that's crazy, right? Like, that's craziness. But I never caught it. Like, it was like, oh shit, this is like the next big happening, because it seems to me like it's still like backyard shit. It's still like just going in the backyard, like my two cousins at, you know, at a fiesta at their niece's birthday party, they get mad at each other and they start fighting. I still see it that way, right? So then I started studying like the origins of bare knuckle. Like, dude, where does this come from? What is the origin of this? And I ran into this man, Ed Simpson. Now, Ed Simpson was one of the original pioneers of bare knuckle. These guys were doing this, you know, when the Kimbos were around and going into warehouses and the real legitimate fight clubs. I mean, he was a pioneer of that. Oh, wow. So when we spoke, I was just dumbfounded. So we have are getting ready to launch. He has launched it. We're getting ready to officially get this started this spring. It is called EKIC, Extreme Kumite. This CC is going to be the very first operational, fully approved ISKA approved MMA with no gloves. So you go back to the movie Bloodsport, which is a cult classic, and you picture a kung fu guy versus whoever, different disciplines, of just pure combat. It's happening. It has already been in the works. Awesome. We have a lot of things in store, but look, you can say, hey, I'm doing backyard Apache Junction, Arizona, you know, bare knuckle boxing, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't have substance behind it. I'm just going to read to you, because our photos and videos are not working right now. So I'm going to read to you just the team.
Next week, we should have Ed on next week, and we'll have everything set up.
Okay. We have Mark Hamilton as the vice president of production. If you don't, I've never heard the name before, and you grew up watching WWE, he was the former VP of WWE, and he currently is the head of CSI Sports, which is a platform to get in any household, any phone, any device in the world, like a snap. So they have hired him for production. Ira Glass, who has done utmost world title fights for HBO, CBS Sports Network, he is now our director for our content. We have Marquez, who they took from the WWE as well. So he is the digital media executive. So all the video on demand that you would see from WWE, branding, all the licensing, all these things that made WWE what they are. You know, when you show up to the arenas and these kids got the Undertaker hat on and they got the, you know, Roman Reigns wig. My son had a Roman Reigns and everything. I mean, these guys are all components behind it. And what Ed has done is he has taken that realm and he has taken the fact that he does not like seeing, and this is your world, a UFC fighter put his life on the line for $20,000 or whatever the fee may be. He just feels like maybe it's just not fair. I have expressed my concerns with that as well. Even in the boxing industry, for some people that don't know, when you're barely starting boxing, the average rate is like it's like $150 to $200 a round. Sometimes these fighters don't even get paid if they don't even sell tickets, right? They just get on the card just to turn pro. I mean, you're putting
They're in the hole when they show up, a lot of them.
Putting your life on the line for $200 a round is not what Ed Sins is talking about. So what his plans are is to make a fully worldwide operational Kumite brand, bare knuckle, and professional boxing. So he has already reached out to the biggest promoters in boxing. One of them, I'm not going to name the name, but I happen to be associated with. If you can read between the lines, and for those that don't, well, come back and watch some of our other episodes and you'll figure it out.
The name might rhyme with money.
Yeah, it might rhyme with money. And it's just it's a who's who. We've got reality series. They hire people from Universal Pictures away from their jobs to come here. So your world champion will not just be sitting at home fighting for bids on apps. He's going to be in movies. He's going to be on lunchboxes. He's going to be on posters. Like, this is a way for somebody to make a living and become super duper wealthy and well taken care of and not have this. And this is what caught me, because, you know, again, I'm a big proponent of this. This is what I, coming into the business 3 years ago, said, or 3 years into the business, started seeing the backside of it, wondering, dude, how do these guys even get, like, feed themselves? It's one fight a year. But wait, I got to take an advance. So now I got to pay the advance back. And then my trainer, and I got this and that. They stay broke. They can't make a living unless you're a Canelo or a 1 or 2 percenter in this industry. You have to be taken care of and managed correctly. And you got to pay your manager back. Like, this is going to eliminate all of this.
You got to pay your nutritionist. You got a trainer, and you know. And if you're an MMA, you got more than one trainer. You got your jiu-jitsu guy. You got your striking guy. So your strength and condition person. So it's completely understandable that it's difficult for a lot of these men and women to actually stick with the sport. They all got day jobs, you know. They
correct. Just do. We have Samantha Goldberg, who is a, like you, a red carpet personality, big name in the industry. She is now the official host of the reality series and everything else we got going on. She is amazing. Like, we have guys that have been in the industry doing these events all over the world for 30 years, 40 years, and now they're with us. We are getting ready to launch.
And we have to hold
a worldwide tournament that is going to consist of Asia markets, India, the European markets, our market here in the United States, and then we're going to find a true global world champion. The bare knuckle belt is the oldest belt in combat sports. It is truly a gentleman's sport, even though it's seen as barbaric. It is a true gentleman's sport. The old, go back and look at the bare knuckle fights. Everybody would show up in suits, and you know they would show up in suits to the fight. It just is something that's going to change the industry, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. I am the official announcer. I am looking at other things too. We are bringing in Bob Ware, who is Floyd Mayweather's trainer, cut man, hand wrapper. He is going to be one of the official trainers and hand wrappers there, along with Big Serge Estrada, who does some of the bigger MMA stuff around. So it'll be them two, one in one corner, one in the other corner, and they will be official. They'll be traveling with us all over the world. It's going to be spectacular, and I could not be happier with Ed and what he's done.
When did we see the first fight?
We're looking at probably, and I don't, and we'll bring him on here next week to make sure we got the date official. I think it's sometime in April, if I'm not mistaken, and it should be at one of the biggest casinos in the country.
It's gonna be in Vegas.
I can't say. It just is going to be
in
one
country.
Of the in the country, yeah, it'll be here.
He's got to be here. Got to be in Vegas. It's truly
looking like Vegas will be a major player. Again, some of these states are still trying to get the new concept of bare knuckle, but when they realize that fighters in MMA and boxing actually get hurt more than the bare knuckle, it's a really crazy science behind it. But it's the truth. It's a different punch. It's a different way of hitting. Thank you, Jamil. I appreciate that. So it's going to be like, it's going to be something that nobody's ever seen. It's going to be amazing. We're truly going to have the true Kung Fu masters that live in these sticks in Thailand, these Thai fighters with the Muay Thai. And we're going to see who the baddest dude on the planet really is. And there is going to be no, well, this guy can't fight this guy. Oh, yeah. It's going to be true. If you're going to be a champion in EKFC, you are going to be a mega star all over the world. And we will have nothing else. And you know me, CC, I am a proponent of love, and I'm a proponent of everybody being real and being true to each other. And Ed has sold me on this. It's going to be fantastic. He's not the type of promoter that wants to get rich and leave everybody behind. It's the fighters first. It's the brand first. He has been working on this for such a long time. We are so excited. And we had all this stuff ready. We even have to where, if you remember when the Creed movie came out, when he fought Drago and they're fighting in front of 100,000 person stadium. Well, that was all CGI. That was all virtual reality. And we have teamed up with some of the biggest players in social media, the biggest platforms to run our content through their virtual reality. So you will be able to watch this on your Oculus and all your VR stuff, like you're actually sitting there in the pit. And you will also be able to, if you felt like being in Tokyo, you know, we have a fight plan for a Tokyo, middle of the Tokyo downtown. We have teamed up with a company that is making virtual sets. Yeah, virtual sets, virtual crowds, virtual cities. And we will have a mixture of live and virtual crowds, sets, cities, you name it. It's going to be like anything no one's ever seen before, and I cannot wait to put it out. And just so much shit that I just doesn't even seem real.
It's like a fight in the middle of a movie.
Correct. So I showed you the video that we can't play. We're gonna fix that and get it. But I showed you the video. I showed you the what these guys are already doing with smaller little promotions, and it's unreal. I mean, we can be in Tokyo sitting in a set in Las Vegas or LA and be there. We can be at Wembley Stadium, but be in LA or be in Vegas in a set with a giant green screen. And it's the technology's there. We have all the patents for it. We have the biggest names in music that are already ready to be part of the show, to extend and want to invest in this stuff. It is going to blow up, CC. And now we can, I've been holding on for so long because we were looking for licensing. We're looking for the right people to bring in, and we finally got it all set. It's going to jump off, girl, and I am so excited to be a part of it. I'm so excited for Ed, all the hard work that he's done. This man sleeps 1 hour, works 23 hours. We're going to bring him on next week. He has given me the opportunity to be the spokesman for EKIC from here on out. And I think that I think we're really going to do some good with it. And it's going to be true combat. I mean, there's no other sense of the word when you have restrictions. And I got to give, you know, I give Dana props for putting the best against the best. But we have one discipline there, and I want to see everything. I want to see the baddest Shaolin master, like for real, like not in a movie. Like I want to see this dude in his gi, you know, doing the crap. I want to see it. I want to see how bad you really are when you go up against someone that's trained in Muay Thai. I want to see it. I want to see you throw with nothing but your bare knuckles, like for real, no pad. Like let's see it, you know. And it's gonna be fantastic, and we can't wait. And we'll bring Ed here again, and it'll be off the hook. Yeah.
Cannot freaking wait. Well, congratulations to you. I'm not surprised that there's good things happening for you. We're looking forward to seeing it play out. You know what? I realized the little boy left his slam lance. Is it familiar to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that sold me. Like, you know, again, I know, and nothing against my boxing promoters. I love boxing. I love my Mayweather family. I'm so happy to be a part of what Floyd is doing now and in the future. Like that is my home, right? But to be able to start something from the inception has always been important to me, because I feel like, you know, we have a place when we come into this industry. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that I respect the legends. Cool. Jimmy Lennon's a good friend of mine. I will never step on his toes. I will never talk bad about him. He wants to work till he's 100, man. I'll back him up. But this is something fresh. This is something new. And Ed has given me the ability to do what I think is going to be best for, you know, for staging. I mean, we have a chance to play with this thing and use the virtual sets and use the virtual crowds and use, you know, virtual effects while the fight is going on. That shit has never happened before. So this is going to be like a Marvel movie in real life on your screen. And it's going to be sick. Like, I just think it's going to bring a whole nother form of entertainment for people. Especially when you can lay in your Oculus in your room and check it out. It's going to be super sick. I just can't wait to be a part of it. So
definitely more to come on that next Thursday. We'll get the promos up so that y'all know when and where to find it. Hey, this has been a really fun episode. Like, the best days are always the ones where, like, you got to just go with what the news is. And with this perspid.
I'm happy for Teofimo. Like, look, you go on there and you beat Loma, like, you get a fucking fat ass payday. Like, how can you be mad at that? You can't hate on that situation, especially and not to hate on Top Rank, but you can't hate on when your promoter bids $2.5 million and you were going to get like maybe 40% of that. Like, you can't hate on it.
It's crazy. Like, it'd be like your girlfriend think you worth $2 million and this other girl think you worth $6 million. Like, you know, gotta fucking get a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, and that's the thing is, like, you know, here's the thing. You don't leave your girlfriend, but you wake her up a little bit. Like, hey, you know, you got me for Valentine's Day. You better step up. Step your game up, you know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Bob Arum. You know, Bob Arum is Bob Arum, and he doesn't like to be made a fool of or to be embarrassed. We will see what happens.
He's big mad.
Oh, yeah. He's big mad. He's big mad not only with that, but he's big mad that now people are going to say that Matchroom basically overbid him as well. And that's going to be pretty embarrassing in of itself, that you should never be outbid by another promoter for whatever reason. Period.
Well, that's how it be sometimes. Get your game up. I am your girl, Cassandra Cousineau, the Sports Nisa. This has been Levels Podcast with Ramblin' Ralph Velez. Thank you to our guest, Jay Chaudhry. We're going to have, buckle in. It's going to be a really, really interesting spring coming up for combat sports.
Absolutely.
We will see y'all again soon. Jeremy Long, where you at?